I'm so glad you're here today. I want us to just take a little moment to talk to our membership. If you're visiting today, I'm so glad you're here. And membership matters here at our church, and that's why we have dinner with the pastor this week. And there's a process to go through, and membership is important. And so I sent an email again this week to all of our members, and it's just outlining all the details for the project that we're voting on. Now, some of us come from different types of churches, and if you're visiting today, maybe you're used to a church where they don't vote on anything, or it's like maybe a kind of a CEO type that thing, and we're not like that. Or maybe you come from a church where you voted on everything. Well, we don't do that either. We have ministry teams and things, but there are some things we have to vote on. And so we have a vote coming up in the next week. And so I want to just tell you about that. Qualified members will be invited to vote. And let me tell you what a qualified church member is any church member, 13 or older, who has attended anywhere we take attendance or given any amount in the last 6 months. So on Thursday, August 22nd, all qualified church members will receive an email, and there'll be a link on that, and you can cast your vote. You could do it starting the 22nd, or you can come Sunday night. We have Family Matters Sunday night, because voting will be available online, digitally, or you can come by the office. If you don't have email or you don't you want to vote with a paper ballot, you can do that. And that'll be open until August 25th. At 7 p.m. And it said that in all the email, but I just wanted to say it in this room. The ballot reads this way: having prayerfully considered the decision, the finance team will secure the best financing options not to exceed $4 million for phase three of our next steps. Now, let me tell you about this project. It's well within our means, and we gave you all kinds of details in that email. But I believe it's a critical step as we begin to expand the square footage around here. And it's time to do that. It's time to expand square footage around here. And I believe this is the best first step in that process, because upgrading this room is the best first step in expanding square footage very quickly, because we will be able to add a third service, and then we'll be able to add a third Sunday school, and that will meet the demands that we see in our church right now. But and I want you to know about this. We're not going to be able to start this until after Easter of next year. So we're going to have all fall to begin giving to this, and all through the first part of next year to begin storing up money for this, which will help us in the financing process of all of it. Let me explain it this way. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is blunt, or the iron is blunt, and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. And what I'm trying to say, well, I think this is the best project. We have had this axe that we've been using for 20 years. Speaking of this room and this area that we've been using to share the gospel with for 20 years, and it's a good one. We've stewarded it well, and it's done well for us. It's a good axe. It's just a little dull, and it's time to sharpen it. And that's what we're saying. It's time to sharpen this axe, and we're going to have to do it at some point, and I think now is the time we can do it in the cheapest way, and it makes the most sense for us to begin to prepare for those three services and three Sunday schools. Now, we got to get prepared for that at every level. And you know, here's the thing about our church. We are passionate about loving all people to Christ and equipping them on their journey with God and one another. I will say that Wednesday to our new members, that this is what we're about. We're going to love people to Christ. We're going to equip them on their journey with God and one another. And our church is going to be a church that stands on the Bible. Unapologetically, we will allow God's word to shape the way we think and the shape the way we live. We're also going to worship Christ here. We're in a series called Known, where Jesus has made himself known. And it's our job to know him and to make him known to people all around us. And that's the people we know the most. This is the field that we're in. And we're going to worship Christ here, and that's going to be very clear to our community and to all those in our lives. We're also going to be committed to community around here. That's why this big day is important. We put a big emphasis on our groups. We started new groups today because community is critically important. And then we are going to be faithful ambassadors for Christ. We're going to represent Christ to this city in this part of Tulsa. And this part of, and we have this unique spot where we are able to reach into Owosso, Collinsville, Claremore, Skiatook, Vera. I mean, shoot, you heard Braden preach a couple weeks ago. He grew up in Vera. You guys drive, what, 35 minutes to come here from Vera. And you know what? God's using us, and God's at work in our church, and it's time to sharpen our axe. And so that's why I think this is important. So I'm going to send you another video this week. So you're going to get to see my mug this week. So I'm excited about that. But we're in John chapter 13, a very important scripture. Turn to John 13. If you're visiting today, we're cruising through the book of John. And we're in John chapter 13 today, a very important moment. It's known as the upper room discourse. Is what it's known as. And so open your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're going to read together 13 through 17, but we're going to kind of live in that passage. Stand with me and let's read God's word today. John 13, 13 through 17. And it says this. It says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, okay, so Jesus is in the upper room. And we've got some pictures of the upper room. This is where he was, right here. It was in this spot that Jesus gathered with his disciples. We've been there. And we've been in that room right there. And in fact, the next picture, show that, Rhonda, that's our people. That's us outside the upper room. Yeah, Murph, you're in there. And we were there at the exact spot where Jesus went with his disciples. Now, this is very important to recognize the context of this. God's word amazes me that he has us right here today. Because, you know, let's understand what's going on with the disciples. They're mad at each other. They're fighting with each other. We just looked at John 12 last week, Jesus' last sermon. That's his last public sermon. And then he goes in the upper room with his disciples. And let's remember what's going on. The disciples are fighting about who's the greatest in the kingdom. I'm going to be the greatest. I'm going to be the greatest. I mean, James and John, their mama went to Jesus and said, "Hey, will you let my son sit on your right and your left hand?" Okay, let me tell you something. That's worse than your mom going to the dugout, KJ, right? Moms, don't ever go to the dugout if your son gets hit with a baseball. You young moms, don't go to the dugout, right? Moms, don't do that. I mean, but here's the deal. The disciples are fighting with one another. And you know what Jesus is doing? He is intentionally getting the disciples on the same page. And I can just imagine this moment, him walking in the room, watching what they're going to do, and they failed. They absolutely failed in this moment. And let's not miss the call of Scripture. This is an Old Testament message and a New Testament message. Testament message. That's really hard to say that twice really fast. And let's not miss, like, Psalm 133, fascinating passage. David longs for unity of God's people. If you consider Moses and all his journey through the wilderness, what was the biggest problem? The infighting of God's people in the wilderness. All through the Scriptures, you see in the Old Testament this call to unity. Let me tell you something. You see it in the New Testament. John 17 that we're going to look at pretty soon. John 17, 20 and 21, a critically important prayer that Jesus is about to pray. Hugely important for the church, for us. You look at, we're in 1 Corinthians today. We read the end of Romans, 1 Corinthians 1 today. If you're in our Bible reading, oh my goodness. I've never seen something more relevant in the life of our church. And let's not miss that God's called the church to walk together in unity. You know, I'm really pumped today. My wife's out of town today, and I shaved this morning. And I hadn't shaved in, well, I guess I'd been, it just started to, I guess just one day. But my, I shaved this morning, and I thought, you know what? September 1's coming. You know what September 1 is for me? It's No Shave November for me. Starting September 1, I get to grow my beard. My wife doesn't, she hates my beard, but I get to grow one starting September 1 because I say, honey, it's No Shave November and it's hunting season. So I got to get ready. And so I'm so pumped about this because it's all gray and gray. You know, it's I love my beard. It reminded me, Eric and I, We're city boys that like to hunt, okay? And it's hard for us because we're both talkers. And it's hard for us to be quiet in a deer stand, right? It's hard for us. But one day we were actually getting it done and we were quiet and we're in this deer stand and all of a sudden we're sitting there and we hear this noise. We're like, what is that? And all of a sudden, I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, this flock of geese fly over our heads. And they weren't geese. What did geese say? It's not quacking. Whatever they do. Honking. They weren't honking. It was their wings. It was their wings, and they were flying. And they were in this perfect V, and they were just rising in front of us. And the sound of their wings was just incredible. And you know what? I did some research on this, that they fly in a V for a reason. One thing that I read says that when they fly in a V, they can fly 71% further without needing rest. Because when they fly in that V, the draft, it lifts them. And when they get out of the V, they're struggling. So you'll see one get out of it and then they'll come back in because it's easier. You know what a church is similar? Do you know God calls his people to be together because we lift each other together when we're together, and when we get off by ourselves, it drags us. And this is why over and over again, I think Jesus in this moment, he's teaching the disciples that when you have a unified heart and a unified focus, you'll go further. And this is why I think we need to pay attention to God's word for us today. Because unity doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes love, humility, a self-sacrificing attitude. And it's the exact opposite of what the disciples are doing right now in the upper room. Look back at verse 1. Before we do that, James gets this. James talks about, James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, says, what causes quarrels and what causes fighting among you? Is this not your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And James is really straightforward that we need to be a people that together come to the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom and strength and unity. This is why we pray for unity as a body. Now, as they're getting ready for the Passover supper, and Jesus knows what he's in for, what's ahead for him, and I think we see an incredible lesson in unity. And the first thing you see here is love that builds unity is willing to humble itself under others. You see Jesus doing something remarkable. Look back at verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, notice this, he loved them to the end. Jesus is frustrated with them. But notice the what you see here is that he loves them to the end. He knows that this hour had come. This is a big hour. This is a big moment. And we see that he's about to go to the Father. So what do you see here? Jesus is God in the flesh. You see the Trinity revealed here. You see God the Father, God the Son. It's revealed here. I can't explain it to you. It's just revealed. Jesus is the master of every disciple here. He's their master. He's their leader. Jesus is smarter than everybody in the room. He's more knowledgeable. He's wiser. He's more important than every disciple in the room. Jesus is fully aware of his position here. You see this? He knows his position. But yet, look what he does. He humbles himself and he washed their feet. Verse 4, he rose from supper. So I think they failed the test here. Because you're supposed to wash your feet right when you walk in the door. But they sit down at the table, all their feet are dirty. And Jesus rose from supper. I can imagine him going, I'm going to see how you guys step up here. You going to step up? And then, look at this, he laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Don't worry about the lights. We had to get a lift in here this morning. It's just, this is how it is. That's why it's time to sharpen the axe, folks. This is not a trick. I'm telling you, it's not a trick. But let's understand something. Washing feet was the worst job. It was the job of the lowest servant. That's what it was. And so if these disciples are having a fight over, I'm better than you, they're not going to take the lowest job here. So what does Jesus do? Jesus gets up and he washed the feet. And do you know what this tells me? It shows us something, that the closer you get to the throne of God, the less you worry about how others view your status. That's an important lesson here. Have you ever had somebody wash your feet? When I had been here about 3 months, and my family was still in Oklahoma City, and I was kind of going, I was living here, and they were trying to wrap up things in Oklahoma City where we came from. And I was in Oklahoma City to just grab some stuff, and I was trying to get back to Tulsa, and I get a phone call from Jerry Searcy, who's one of my lovely, incredible volunteers at Council Road. I've served with him for so many years, 19 years. Loved Jerry. He called me and said, can you come by the church today? I was like, Jerry, I can't. I got to get back to Tulsa. And if I go by there, I'll be there for 2 hours because I can't stop talking to people. And he goes, please come by. I was like, Jerry, I go, meet me in the parking lot. I can't come inside. He goes, okay. So I drive by. I text him. I say, I'm out here. He walks out to my truck, and he doesn't say a word to me. He has a bowl. He has a towel. I don't know why he's got that. I didn't even think about it. And I'm starting to get out of my truck. He goes, sit right there. And he took my shoes off and he washed my feet. And then he goes, thanks for coming by. And then he walks off. And I drive back to Tulsa and I was like, oh my goodness. It was such a humbling and odd, meaningful moment. And, you know, if I were to ask you a question, should you submit to God or should you submit to a person? I don't want you to say it out loud, but I want you to think about, what do you think you should do? God or the other person? You know, most of the time we think, God, of course. But actually, the Bible says both. Both. Ephesians 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word submit means to voluntarily place oneself under authority, under another. It takes humility. It takes us recognizing that there are some people that know things about things that you don't know, that we walk together, that we have different gifts. And that's the beauty of the church, that we all use our gifts. And all of our gifts are important. They're all critically important. And a love that, and that's what Jesus said to the disciples. Hey, look, you're all different, boys. You're worried about who's the greatest. You all have a role. Stop. Let me show you what it's like to serve one another. And a love that builds unity is willing to humble itself under others. A second thing, a love that builds unity offers humble forgiveness. Boy, this is an incredibly glaring lesson right here. Let's just consider the feet that Jesus was washing, the feet that he was washing of those disciples. Look at verse 2. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, notice that. The devil had already spoken to Judas. Jesus knew it. And what does he do? Judas, I want to wash your feet. I'm telling you something. We must not miss the gospel invitation that's happening right there in that moment. You see the Trinity revealed in this passage, and that's a mystery. You know what you also see? You also see this incredible revelation of God's sovereign knowledge and man's free will and the conflict of that right there. You see, just like the Trinity is something that we go, wow, that's a revelation that's hard for me to understand, so is the call of salvation. And this is why we should never fight over the doctrine of God's sovereignty that's revealed in the Scriptures and the doctrine that you see revealed in the Scriptures of man's free will. In this entire 20 verses, you see that right in front of you. But let's not miss Jesus sitting down and washing Judas's feet. It's a gospel invitation. It's a humble forgiveness. And I thought to myself, how would you treat somebody that has betrayed you? That has wronged you? Let me tell you something. Jesus knew Judas was in the process of wronging him. And yet he forgave him. Well, I'll tell you what, that's an example we should follow. That kind of forgiveness we ought to follow. And some of you may be thinking, okay, I'll wash the feet of someone who's wronged me. How about some boiling water? How about that? Take that. Or, hey, I'll wash those feet. I'm going to drag them 10 feet under and scrub away, baby. No. That's not what Jesus is saying here. You're seeing this incredible act of service and humble forgiveness being offered to Peter, too. Look at verse 6. And he came to Simon Peter. I mean, Jesus knew. He's about to tell Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. He hadn't told him yet. But Simon Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you will have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. And that is why he said, not all of you are clean. Again, Jesus is pointing out, Judas knows that he's the betrayer. And he knows, because here's the thing, when you're lost, you know it. And Judas, look at this. Peter, he offers, he's washing Peter's feet, knowing what he's about to do. Let me tell you something. The love that builds unity offers humble forgiveness. And that's the mark of a Christian. And we are called to forgive one another, those who wrong us, we're called to forgive. And you see it right here. A love that builds unity offers humble forgiveness. Third thing, a love that builds unity delays personal needs to meet others' needs first. And that's what you see Jesus doing. He's delaying his personal needs. I mean, let's think about this. Jesus expressed his love by meeting their need at a time when his need was greater. I mean, the disciples' feet were dirty, tired, dusty, all those things. They're mad at each other. They're frustrated with each other. But think about Jesus. The next day was the worst day of his life. He's about to go be arrested. Judas is about to leave and go get all that set up. They're about to go to the garden. Jesus is about to start sweating drops of blood. I mean, when you think of the, I try to put myself in that position. And I'll tell you, Jesus was in a tough position. Imagine you. Put yourself in a position if tomorrow you knew that you were going to a battlefield. And the chances of coming home were not good. I got to tell you what I got to do this weekend. I am so proud of our church. This weekend, I posted a picture, and then I called Nate, and I said, should I have posted a picture? And he's like, you probably shouldn't. I was like, okay, so I took it all down yesterday. Because one of our young men from our church graduated Friday night as a PJ for the United States Air Force. I drove Thursday from Tulsa to Albuquerque. Thursday night, we had a deal for him and a dinner, and then Friday, I got to go see the PJ training facility at Kirtland Air Force Base, and here we are going, oh my goodness, looking at where these PJs train, and then Friday night, I was with some of the most elite men in our military, and I know we got a lot of wacky stuff going on in our government that we got to fix, but let me tell you something, the boys I was hanging out with I was observing this weekend, They are some of the most amazing men in our military. And I kind of left there going, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. But I bought this to put on my coffee table to remind myself to pray for Nate. And I've got a commitment to him that I'm praying for. I can tell you about that later. But PJs, no disrespect to all of their forces, I think they really are some of the most elite warriors. Because they'll attach a PJ to a SEAL team, a Army Ranger team, a Green Berets. And you know what their motto is? Is that so that others may live. Because they're not only trained to go do elite diving, jumping, land navigation, but they're also paramedics. And I thought to myself, imagine one of our young men in the coming days will be in harm's way. Not maybe, will be. And he'll be on missions that won't make CNN and we'll never know about. He will be in dangerous situations. Imagine if you were going on a dangerous situation. You know what you're not thinking about? How can I serve others? Jesus is about to go into the most dangerous situation in his life. Those disciples should have been saying, Jesus, how can we help you? But Jesus was thinking, how can I help them? There's a principle that I've learned from these PJs who have a motto, so that others may live. Phenomenal motto. They do what they do so that others may live. But there's a principle that if you need your feet washed, wash someone else's feet. If you need to be blessed, choose to be a blessing to someone else. Jesus is modeling this right in front of us. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your laps. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And let's recognize this beautiful principle that Jesus is modeling. Though it's the toughest time of his life, we're to follow in his steps. We're to do this. And let's not miss the last point that I want us to grab a hold of. I want us to think about that the foot washer responsibility is not an option or a suggestion. It's a command. Look what the scripture says. Verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." You know what? A lot of people, they read this and they want to make foot washing a third ordinance. You know, at our church, we have two ordinances. And we call them ordinances because they're practices. They don't cause salvation. They are because we are saved. Because we are saved, we have the Lord's Supper. And we take the bread and the wine in our bodies, and we say, "Jesus, you did this for me." Because we are saved, we do baptism like we saw today with the two baptisms we saw this morning. Those are ordinances. Some people want to make foot washing an ordinance, meaning that you do this as a practice of your church. But I don't necessarily think that Jesus is there's a cultural reason that you washed feet in the first century. But the call of foot washing is a command. And I don't think you need a bowl of water and a towel, though that was a meaningful moment with Jerry and I. There are some feet we need to wash. Let's think about them. First one is perishing feet. Let me tell you, around us we have perishing feet. We have people that are around us. They're going to hell. They don't know the Lord. And you see over and over again in John 12, if you were here last week, it's noteworthy that Jesus spoke so clearly about judgment. And in this passage, you see this really interesting revelation that really is outside of a human understanding of God's sovereignty and man's free will. Let me tell you something. There's perishing feet that we need to wash. People that are lost. And this is why we make room for people. This is why we plan to go to a third service. Whether we use it with a dull axe or not, whatever, we're going to do that. We're going to reach people with the gospel. There's perishing feet around us, and we're a church that does, we care about that. We pray about that. We must. You must. There's a reason I'm pushing us to be ambassadors for Christ, because many of us are too silent to the lost around us. And I'm telling you, we've got to have a burden for the lost. And it concerns me because sometimes our theology gets in our way and we don't share the gospel. And I feel it. I've done that. I'm not yelling at you. I'm sitting with you. There's perishing feet around us. There's dragging feet around us. Those who are worn out because of pressures of the day or the load that they carry. And we got to notice people whose feet are dragging. And when we notice, that's why the church is to notice one another. to know one another, because when our feet are dragging, we carry one another's burden. We help one another. There's dragging feet around us. There's dirty feet around us. You know, this is the beauty of accountability, of confrontation, of being a part of a church where we're going to sharpen one another, like iron sharpens iron. This is why we're a church that when we wrestle through disagreements, we just don't get mad and leave. It's good for us to wrestle. That's what family does. I mean, I have a redheaded daughter. You ought to try that in your life. But you know, big thing about that, she's just like me. So she's had to forgive me way more than I've had to forgive her. But sometimes there's dirty feet. We get soiled by the world. We get in sin. You know, there's beautiful feet around us that we need to wash. Beautiful feet, those that teach you. Your Sunday school teachers that work their tail off. And you know what I love about our church? Our teachers, they are diligent. And when I look at what Brad's done with our teachers and the writing of material, do you know how blessed we are as a church to have that? It's tailored for us because our people are in the middle of the word. It's gold. There's beautiful feet around us. You ought to think about washing the feet of those that teach you, that bless you. We have a phenomenal church staff. And that are diligent. You know what I was looking at it when I was with all these special forces guys, because I was in the room with some bad dudes, lot of special forces dudes this week. And you know what? You realize in the spiritual battle, that's the church staff that you have. They're the special forces. It's beautiful feet. You're to wash them. There's feet that need help. There's feet around us that need help. That's why I'm so thankful we've done the Mission Center. That was right. And that is something, as it continues to be the helping arm of our church to a community. Do you realize that the reason that we have an M logo is because we are known to be a church that serves. The Mission Center has allowed, that's how we are known in this community. That's why we have an M. People ask me all the time, why are you first ballot? Yeah. Why do you have an M? Because that's how we're known where we live. There's feet that need help, and we've got to do that. There's hurting feet. Let me explain this. There's people that I've hurt that I need to go make right. There's people that you've hurt that you need to go make it right. So let's feel that for a second. The disciples right here, they're mad at each other. There's some hurt in that room. There's some, I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. Jesus, I'm going to sit at your right hand. I'm at your left. Not him. Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? That guy? Oh, let's not miss this. You know, part of family, you know what's interesting about my marriage? We've been married 30 years last week. As I look at my marriage, nobody has hurt Robin more than me. Because the nature of our relationship, it is every day. It's the, why'd you leave your clothes there? And it's the every day. You know that, right? But, you know, nobody's hurt her more. You know what? Nobody's hurt me more than her. But you know what else? Nobody's forgiven me more than that woman. Nobody's forgiven her more than me. And you know what that's done, working through that? That's caused us to build a life together that I go, man, I love that woman. And I can tell you right now, I'd die for her. I would give my life for her without even a thought. There's no person on the planet that I love more than Robin Wall. And so as I've written this sermon, I thought to myself, what kind of pastor am I going to be? You know what my prayer is? I'd be a pastor that washes feet. I don't care about my image or if I look good or not. Or I don't have to, I don't have all the answers as your pastor. There's a lot of times I'm like, golly, what do we do here? This world's nuts. What do we do? Well, I'm going to trust the Lord, and God's word's a lamp to our feet, and God has spoken. I hope you're reading through our Bible reading. If you haven't, you ought to just read the end of Romans and 1 Corinthians 1. You ought to read that. That's where we've been this today, 1 Corinthians 1. Yesterday, I was like, dang, the Lord's reading our mail. And what kind of pastor am I going to be? What kind of deacons in the room? You guys that are deacons? What kind of deacon are you going to be? Be a foot washer. Those of you that teach Sunday school, what kind of Sunday school teacher are you going to be? Be a foot washer. If you're on a ministry team in this room, be a foot washer. Church member? What kind of church member are you going to be? Be a foot washer. I'll tell you what. The world is desperately in need of seeing a people that walk with God. Because I'll tell you what. When you see that, when a church steps up into that spot in a community, let me tell you something. A lost world goes, I need that. That's why the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:15, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give you a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Joe's going to come up, and we're going to have an invitation. And you know, there's some people that are on our prayer team, and they'll be willing. I just want you to go. If you've been on our prayer team, fill a spot. I'm not going to call you out. Just fill a spot. And so. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. Maybe you need to just pray for our church or pray for your forgiveness of somebody. Maybe you need to go to somebody right now. I don't know. Look, there's people all around the room, and this is good. Maybe you need somebody just to pray for you. I just want you to know, don't miss that blessing of having somebody pray over you. Joe's going to sing a song, and I just want you to take the time before you stand and sing with him just to reflect on what God has said to us today from his word. Reflect on that. Lord, would you move us right now? Thank you for this day, the calling to walk with you and to know you. And I ask for your wisdom and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.